Nearly 11:30 a.m. Time for Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'm really delighted to be bringing you another edition of Talking Animals, kicking off the show as usual with an animal tune. This is the Eels with Fly Swatter here on WMNF.
Little field mice living under the house, never eaten much tough life for a mouse. And if you think you're gonna be spared, you're wrong. Field mice, head lice, spiders in the kitchen. Don't think twice about whatever keeps you itching. I swear, if I swear, I'm gonna get you through the day. Heat is rolling in like hell's red rug, stinking like the breath of Beelzebub. And if you think you won't walk on coals, you will. Field mice, head lice, spiders in the kitchen. Don't think twice about whatever keeps you itching. I swear to fly, swear to gonna get you through.
This is the Eels with an animal song of sorts called Fly Swatter, an animal band with an animal tune, a double winner, folks. As we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa and streaming live via the station's fabulous, gleaming new website, WMNF.org. My name's Duncan Strauss, and I'll be here till noon today with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Indeed, the show primarily seeks to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your phone calls and emails, from assorted other sources as well. But we're also quite interested in celebrating animals through music, comedy, and other means. We always aim for a spirited balance of those elements, as you can readily glean.
That's real good.
Thanks, E. That's real good for you, too. If you care to visit our website, talkinganimals.net, indeed, the website offers archives of all our past shows, including our initial programs on WMNF, which have featured an array of illustrious figures from the animal world, or notable folks from other fields who have a legitimate tie to animal welfare. Today's edition very much extends the show's tradition of speaking with fascinating folks from all walks of animal life, with the conversation we'll have momentarily with our guest Dan Poraro, who draws the award-winning, widely syndicated panel cartoon Bizarro. He's also a vegan and has been recognized for his work as a vocal animal rights advocate, including periodically presenting animal rights issues in Bizarro, and addressing them in various lectures and comedy shows he delivers across the country. Indeed, he's slated to present a multimedia performance, Cartoons, Comedy, and Compassion, at the Unitarian Universalist Octagon Arts Center, say that three times fast or one time slow, in Clearwater on April 1st. We'll find out more about this show and a number of other things when Dan Poraro joins us on Talking Animals in a moment. We'll also welcome your questions and comments for him at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. I want to quickly hit a couple of animal news items or announcements. First of all, for those who'd like to do a good deed every day without actually getting off their butt, I've got something for you here. It's the Animal Rescue Site. It's a website, and the address is simply the Animal Rescue Site, SITE.com. And if you go there every day and click on Feed an Animal in Need, you actually are indeed helping abused and abandoned animals through an arrangement with the corporate sponsors and advertisers. They use the number of clicks to free up dough for those animals in need. So it's the animalrescuesite.com. Go every day, take you a minute or less, And there's your good deed. Getting out of your pajamas, practically, if that's when you'd like to do it. Also, we've got Yappy Hour at the New World Brewery in historic Ybor City. That's Tampa's original dog social since 2004, except no substitute, folks. Happy hour for you and your dog. All well-socialized leashed dogs are welcome. Yappy Hour is the time for owners and their canine kids to mix and mingle with new people and their dogs. Enjoy great music by some of the area's best musicians and DJs on New World Brewery's Tropical Ybor City, Ybor Patio. And I particularly want to call it to your attention because March 25th, the music will be coming from our own Scott Emmerich of Saturday of Silent, WMNF's Saturday of Silent. So for more information, go to barkofthebay.com for details. And enjoy. So that's, I think, going to do it for those today. Let's step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which involves animal-oriented comedy. Today's edition is both sad and, one hopes, an upbeat nod to Richard Jenny, who died by his own hand Saturday. He was a friend of mine, a dear friend of my wife's, and at the height of his powers, one of the best and most prolific comedians to ever step on stage. So this is Richard Jenny with a piece called Fred Robster on today's Comedy Corner here on WMNF.
So I'm out last night at a famous restaurant. I don't know if I could mention the name on the album. It might not be nice. It rhymes with Fred Robster. And it's a great place to go. Just don't sit next to the tank where they keep the lobsters. Very depressing. The lobsters always have that look of, any word from the governor? That's why you have to have like 4 or 5 drinks and then order. Because once you're drunk, you don't care who you send to their death in a boiling pot. Now you're drunk, and they're going, can we help you? And you got that Emperor of Rome attitude. Yes. Bring me the brown one. He amuses me. The impertinent one on the right. Seize him! Have him boiled immediately. Would you like a beverage? Wine! Bring me wine! Will there be anything else? Yes, find out why all the Romans in the movies have English accents. Quickly! So sad. They're like the only... They had a sign up, the lobsters were flown in. How cruel is that? Think about that. Let's say you're a lobster, right? You've never been on an airplane before. A fair assumption. What else can you think but you've won the lobster sweepstakes? You're on a plane. Magazine, belt around the tail. Not bad. Not only am I getting a free trip, I'm earning valuable frequent lobster miles. Next thing you know, you're locked in a tank. Both your hands are tied. Everybody in the place is wearing a bib with your picture on the front of it. You want to talk to my travel agent right away? What happened to the friendly skies, huh? And they're one of the only animals that have to put up with being alive in the restaurant. If you go to a steakhouse, folks, no cow tank. You don't see them bring a live cow. What do you think of this one, buddy? This is the best cow we got with a baked potato. I don't think you go wrong. Say the word, I got a gun. I'll blast the crap out of him right here. This is the best cow. Hey, put your head up. The hell's wrong with you? It's a customer. You want this job or don't you? Right, and there's the cow over there. Why don't you have a lobster? Why don't you have a lobster? And the lobster's going, why don't you mind your freaking business? The man has made his dinner selection, fat boy. Sir, if I may say so, a fine choice it was tonight. Now, thanks.
All right, that was Fred Robster, a longer piece than we typically play on Talking Animals, but sort of our way to salute the late, great Richard Jenny, our friend who died Saturday. Rest in peace, Rich. Rest in peace. I'm Duncan Strauss. This is Talking Animals on 88.5 WMNF. The station website is WMNF.org. The show's website is TalkingAnimals.net, where all our past programs are archived. There are pieces written about us, pieces we've written, and more, including a calendar of pet events taking place in and around Tampa, and a place to sign up for our email list so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guests and remind you when the show will air next on WMNF. So again, that's talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to welcome today's guest, Dan Poraro. So let me quickly outline a few important details about him. As I touched on a few moments ago, he draws the award-winning, widely syndicated panel cartoon Bizarro. Bizarro appears in more than 250 and probably counting publications across multiple continents and has earned Poraro a slew of prominent awards, including Best Panel Cartoon from the National Cartoonist Society three different times and being nominated the past several years running for that society's highest honor, Outstanding Cartoonist of the Year, recognizing his work on behalf of animal welfare, often incorporated into editions of Bizarro. He's been awarded the Humane Society's Genesis Award for Outstanding Cartoonist three of the last 4 years. His efforts as an animal advocate extend beyond the cartooning work. He addresses animal rights issues in various lectures and comedy shows he delivers across the country. Indeed, as I mentioned before, he's slated to present a multimedia performance, Cartoons, Comedy, and Compassion, at the Unitarian Universalist Octagon Arts Center in Clearwater on April 1st. With a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Dan Poraro to Talking Animals. Are you there, Dan?
I am here.
Welcome to Talking Animals. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much for having me. It's great to be here.
Cool. Well, obviously, of course, I want to talk about Bizarro and the performance you'll be doing in Clearwater, among other things. But I think we have to start at the beginning, which for the purposes of this show, at least, is what got you interested in animal rights?
I've been involved in it now for 5 years, and I would say that previous to that, I was a pretty typical American in the sense that I considered myself compassionate to animals, and I would certainly never abuse one with my own hands, and I would save one that I found injured on the side of the road, etc., as most people would. But I never really gave much thought about my food choices. I just kind of considered all that a natural way of things. You know, animals eat animals, we're animals, so we eat animals, and that's that. I never really thought much further beyond that. Then I met a woman who had been a vegan and animal rights activist since she was a child. She was one of those people that it just never occurred to her to abuse an animal in any way. She gave up all on her own. She wasn't raised vegetarian, but she just gave up eating animals as a small child when she realized where her food was coming from. She just thought, I'm not doing that. So she sort of, you know, came to it naturally. And she and I really hit it off. In fact, so much so that we're now married. But
okay, that's Ashley then, I take it?
Yeah, that's my wife, Ashley Smith. And she introduced me, you know, she was not, she was sensitive to the fact that if she, you know, tried to beat me over the head with this information, that it wouldn't, you know, go as well as if she just sort of taught it to me by example. So just by being around her over a period of months, I learned a lot about factory farming, about what these animals go through, about what these animals are really like. And, you know, within a few months, I just thought, I can't do this anymore. And what really sealed the deal was that she brought me to Farm Sanctuary, which is a rescue organization. There's one in upstate New York and one in Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
And they rescue farm animals and let them live out their lives in peace on a beautiful bucolic farm, which I had been pretending all those years is where all my food came from, you know, some bucolic pasture.
Sure.
Somewhere in the country. So anyway, she one day she said, you know, would you like to come to Farm Sanctuary with me for the weekend? They've got a bed and breakfast kind of thing there, and, you know, we can meet the animals and learn about stuff. And I said, yeah, that sounds great. So we went, and as soon as I met these guys, as soon as I met pigs, cows, and chickens, and turkeys in person, which I had never done before, maybe, you know, petted one over a fence on the side of the road one time or another, but I'd never really met one that was in a non-stressed situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what really sealed the deal. I actually got tears in my eyes over this one cow who was, he was blind, but he really loved people, and he'd follow you around the pastures and try to get you to pet him and stuff. And I thought, oh, my God, these are not just stupid eating machines.
Yeah.
Don't know if they're alive or dead. They're just like cats and dogs and children, for that matter. You know, the only difference between us is them and them is that they can't afford lawyers. I mean, that's really what I've come to believe.
If they could just get the retainer together, everything would be different. Yeah.
If they had more money,
right?
They'd have a fighting chance.
Sure.
So that was the day I stopped. Right then, I just gave up everything, and I went vegan. And my wife said, "Are you sure you want to go right to vegan? You don't want to be vegetarian for 10 or 15 years first, like most people do?
Yeah.
And work on the vegan thing." But I had just read these two pamphlets while I was there about eggs and about dairy, and I said, oh my gosh, are you kidding? Those two industries are the worst. They're more cruel than the meat industries in many ways.
So, yeah,
I'm giving those up first, not last.
Right. Wow. Well, one of the things that really strikes me about that, Dan, is that, you know, on the one hand, as you note, I mean, your wife, you know, sort of was, I guess, almost, you know, precocious, if that's the right word, in her understanding me. But one of the things I think that's really important and encouraging in, about you and your story, and I really try to have folks like this on the show, is that, you know, it's far more common, I think, than Ashley's experience, to have your experience where,
right,
you know, you openly say, hey, man, I didn't know. I, you know, happily ate a steak or did whatever, and, you know, I wasn't thinking of anything malicious or bad. I just hadn't had my eyes open in that way.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you come to it. And the other thing is that it's just important, I think, to say that those, you know, I mean, your change was drastic and overnight. But a lot of people, I mean, one of the things that this reminds me of is a couple of shows ago, we had Raylene Smith of PETA on, who's the circus specialist. But she was talking about, you know, Midwest girl, ate steak, didn't think about anything, and just gradually came to an understanding, and just recommends that people now just sort of look at some things and just see where maybe they can make some minor changes and not necessarily feel pressured to drastically change overnight. Although, again, it's impressive that you did. So, there's a lot for people to think about and embrace here.
Yeah, it's difficult. I'm the kind of person that I've always been sort of activist minded. When I see something that is blatantly wrong, I really try to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also was the kind of person, I think, which is more common, where I didn't seek out information that I had to do something about, you know?
Yeah.
I wasn't out there just constantly combing the web trying, sure, to find out some fight to pick with somebody, you know?
Right.
But then when things, you know, did occur to me, and yeah, I think there's that big disconnect because you grow up eating animals and you think, well, I'm not cruel to animals. I'm not physically doing anything cruel to anybody.
Sure.
I've never hurt an animal.
Right.
But it was that day that I realized that I was paying someone else to do it. I was subsidizing cruelty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People say, well, that's not cruel. It's what they're raised for. And I often think, what exactly? And I used to think that way. But in truth, what is my definition of cruelty to animals? How about stringing one up, slicing it open, and letting it bleed to death? Would that be cruel? Well, who would not say yes?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody says that. Well, that's what you're paying somebody to do every single time you buy a hamburger.
Sure.
You paid somebody to do that. That's cruelty to animals. I mean, who wouldn't say that, you know?
Right. But I think the key thing that you kind of hit on along the way, though, is there's that disconnect. And a lot of people, there's friends of mine who, you know, kind of understand what I do, but don't embrace it themselves. And at least a couple of very frankly said, you know, if you think about it a lot, then of course we shouldn't be doing this. But they're, you know, the implication is they're not ready to think about it because they're not ready to give up the burgers or whatever. So, you know, that's fine. They may or may not make some minor changes. But again, I think the key thing is not to be, too preachy or proselytize, but sort of, you know, guide people by the hand a little bit, either by way of radio shows or cartoons or whatever, and hope that maybe they'll kind of step in your direction, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
let me just let the listeners know this is Talking Animals on WMNF. We're speaking with Dan Peraro, the cartoonist behind Bizarro. You can join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663 or emailing us at dj@WMNF.org. And I also want to remind people that Dan will deliver a performance presentation April 1st in Clearwater. Details are on the website bizarroartist.org, and we'll find out more about that from Dan momentarily here. But so speaking of that, in a way, like you know, sort of reaching out to people by way of radio shows or cartoons, what was the process when you decided, having kind of embraced this change, to then introduce animal rights issues, elements, etc., into Bizarro?
That sort of happened more or less naturally.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a syndicated cartoonist, that, you know, I come up with an idea 7 days a week for 22 years in a row now.
Wow.
Do the math. That's like more than 100.
Yeah, give or take. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like nearly 10,000 ideas. So
wow.
Any syndicated cartoonist is under the gun constantly. You got to come up with stuff. So anything in your head is fair game. You know, you just every single day, I'm sweeping every corner of my mind looking for any seed of an idea that I could turn into a cartoon. So this stuff at the time that I converted and began learning this stuff, it was on my mind. And, and I also like my cartoon is a little more controversial than something like Family Circus or Garden. Yeah, I'm always trying to make people think a little bit about something.
Yeah.
Whether it's just their perception of reality or whether it's relationships or politics or, you know, important things like politics and animal rights. I mean, who knows, anything. I'm always trying to make people just kind of see things differently. That's sort of where I am in my writing.
Sure.
And so naturally this stuff, I started looking for ways to make these points and to educate people a little bit about where their food comes from in my cartoon. And it was very difficult. It's like, oh my gosh, I really care about cancer. How can I make funny jokes about it? Well, it's hard.
You know, it's
a dark subject. Animal abuse is a very dark subject, not easy to be funny about.
Sure.
So it took me quite a while. I think the first cartoon I did was some pigs in a farmyard building tofu decoys so they could that look like pigs so that they could escape in the middle of the night. Eh, you know, not a great joke, but, you know, it certainly wasn't all that informative. But that was the first one I did.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I got a little better at it, and I've actually come up with quite a few, surprisingly many, over the years.
Absolutely, yeah.
Not something that I don't sit down and go, let's see, I need an animal rights cartoon this week. You know,
right.
Just when one occurs to me, I snatch it. You know, when one falls out of thin air, I grab it. And I've actually been surprisingly many when I look back at the number I've done. I think,
yeah,
I've actually done quite a lot of animal rights.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's so it sounds like when inspiration strikes, that's when they do it. But yeah, as you say now, inspiration has obviously struck quite a number of times. You know, the phones are really lit up, Dan. Let's take a couple calls if you don't mind.
All right.
Hi, you're on WMNF Talking Animals with Dan Peraro.
I hope that's me.
That is you. Please go ahead.
The first question, I'm happy to hear the presentation about the animal rights. I know this is that program. But I want to ask Dan if his cartoon back in 10-19, I think, of 04, with Karl Rove talking with Plato. I want to know, do you have that, like, syndicated on a T-shirt? Boy, I would sure like to get some of those.
Aha. Uh-huh.
You have something like that.
That's actually one of my personal favorite cartoons. And I have a good story about that, if I can tell it real quickly.
Absolutely.
The cartoon, it was right before the last presidential election. And I say election with quotation marks.
Please, yeah, the only way you can, yeah.
it was right before that last one. And it was a picture of Karl Rove sitting on a hillside talking to a guy in a toga. And in the background, there's some Greek temples and stuff. And he says, but surely, and Karl Rove says, or the guy in modern clothing says, but surely you'll admit that truth can be created by the repetition of a lie. And then at the bottom it just says Karl Rove and Plato. So they're having a philosophical discussion.
Great.
About it. Anyway, I got a lot of hate mail at that time.
Oh, no.
I also got a lot of love mail, too, from people who believed that Karl Rove was less than honest. But I got a lot of hate mail from people who were really strong supporters of the administration. About 8 or 10 months later, the Scooter Libby situation hit, the Valerie Plame and all that stuff, and then Karl Rove started getting implicated, and one thing led to another, and a lot of bad stuff came out about all those guys and the various lies they had told, and the ship started, that was when the ship first started sinking. And then I got a letter from a guy who had written a particularly vitriolic letter to me about the Karl Rove thing, and he said, I wrote you this terrible letter about that Karl Rove cartoon, and I'm so sorry. You were totally right.
Wow. Now we're talking. Cool.
I know,
but I think there's a lot of people who were on your side. That little phrase you put there explained Karl Rove and his relation with the whole administration from 1992 or 93 forward.
Yeah.
That's his mantra. Just keep telling the story. Just keep telling the story. Anyhow, do you have that on a T-shirt, or can that be gotten?
I don't have it on a shirt. But if you go through my website, you could actually buy a color print of that. We do sell various things. You know, you could buy a nice color print of that, suitable for framing. You might even be able to talk the guy who sells the prints into putting it on a T-shirt. I'm not sure.
I think that's a money-making object for you.
Yeah,
so that would be bizarro.com, right, Dan,
yeah,
is the website.
Exactly.
Okay. Caller, thanks so much. We've got to keep moving because we're almost out of time. We've got to get some more calls, and
I got
some more questions for Dan. Thank you. So, Dan, that sort of raises something that either, you know, whether it's the Karl Rove kind of cartoon or just back to what we were saying a moment ago about some of the animal rights things. I mean, when you started doing that, or even with the Rove thing, beyond hate letters/love letters or people who ended up writing you both in that one case, you know, were people that, that you, you know, that edit or and syndicate Bizarro, have you, you know, got any kind of hesitance or resistance from them? Like, hey, we signed up for a certain kind of cartoon here, and not necessarily a topical or political cartoon that it's now, you know, looking like sometimes.
The one time, politics is actually the only area in which I can actually, in which I ever get into trouble, because they buy it as a humor strip with a point of view, so they understand it's going to have some controversy to it from time to time. So the animal rights stuff is okay, but the political stuff, that's where newspapers draw the line. If you're going to be blatantly political, they want to put you on the editorial page, which in most cases I'm not. So after that last election, I backed way off of heavy political statements. Plus, the country's starting to come around and see some of the, however we can put that politely, but anyway, they're starting to see some of the inaccuracies that they've been sold.
Well, yeah, it's like a larger version of the guy who wrote you the second time about the Rove cartoon. It's like, oh my goodness, I was wrong and you were right. You know, so the light bulbs are going off now.
Yeah. And I have some conservatives in my own family and friendships. You know, I mean, I always like to cushion that by saying it's not about the politics; it's about the lying. When an administration lies consistently, whether you believe in their politics or not, it's going to come out, and that's kind of what has happened with Karl Rove. It's not really about conservative versus liberal at that point. It's about that guy creating the truth out of lies, which is, you know, always a bad idea.
Well, we're just sort of sadly nearing the end of our time. We've got a few calls here still, and one that's been holding for a bit. So I want to take a call and ask them to be brief, and then certainly ask you a little bit about the show that you'll be doing in Clearwater on April 1st. So let's have this caller. Hi, you're on WMNF with Dan Perraro on Talking Animals. A quick question, please.
Is this me?
Yes, it sure is. A quick question for Dan.
I just wanted to make a comment about when talking about animal abuse, things like that, and being too preachy. I think that as long as you're loving and accepting to people, I think being absolutely honest and harshly honest, because it also is a matter of expediency and time for those beings that are suffering. And thank you very much for bringing this topic up today.
Thank you. Thanks for your call. So, Dan, maybe just take a moment, if you could, to sort of outline what we might expect to see on your show. It's at the Unitarian Universalist Octagon Arts Center, a tongue twister if ever I heard one, in Clearwater, April 1st at 6 p.m. Again, bizarroartist.org for all the details. But maybe you could just kind of outline what people might expect at that night.
My talks are actually kind of an odd combination between a traditional lecture and a comedy show. I've done a lot of comedy shows, done some stand-up comedy in clubs and things, so it's sort of part that, but it's multimedia. I sing songs, I tell stories, I answer questions from the audience, I show slides, I show videos, and it just kind of goes on and on for an hour or so, and people, typically they're very well received. It's much more like a comedy show than a lecture, and I actually get it's not a particularly preachy presentation, although I talk a lot about animal rights and vegetarianism and things, but even people that just come off the street because they're fans of my cartoon always have a great time at these things. So.
Sure. Well, that's sounds great, and we'll be looking forward to that. And sadly, we had some longer questions and lengthier exchanges, and sadly now we're sort of out of our time here for today. But hopefully we'll get a chance to speak again in the future. So many more things I wanted to speak with, and I know a lot of callers were hoping to speak with you as well. So hopefully we'll get you on again soon on Talk Animals. Thank you very much, Dan. Again, people look for him in person, in the flesh, April 1st. One more time, Unitarian Universalist Octagon Art Center. Please try to say that three times fast. Come on, everybody. In Clearwater, April 1st at 6 p.m. Go to bizarroartist.org for all the details and how to get tickets, etc. Dan Perraro, thanks again for joining us on Talking Animals.
Thank you, Doggett.
All right, take care. Okay, I'm Duncan Strauss. You are listening to Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. The show website is talkinganimals.net, which I hope you'll visit to sign up for our email list. Check out our archive shows and calendar of Tampa pet events. Make suggestions for future guests or topics. Check out written pieces, photos, and more. That's talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to Name That Animal Tune, pretty much like any version of Name That Tune that you'd care to mention, except that in this game, the tunes are always animal-related. There's going to be a prize, a fabulous prize today in particular, a copy of Dan's book, Bizarro and Other Strange Manifestations of the Art of Dan Peraro, signed by Dan, no less. So this is quite a prize. So for the first person who calls in and correctly identifies what this song is at 813-239-9663, that book, that prize, will be yours. We made it a little harder today, given the prize, all right? So see if you can recognize this. I will say it's a version of something else. Hi, can you name that animal tune? Hi, can you name that animal tune?
Hello?
Hi, can you name that animal tune?
What, that new tune?
Can you name that animal tune, please?
No, I can't name that tune.
Okay. Can you name that animal tune?
What?
Hey, yeah, cool. It's a crazy medieval version of it, isn't it?
It is. It's great, actually.
Okay. Cool. What's your name?
This is Mike Sullivan in Tarpon Springs.
Okay, Mike Sullivan, if you wouldn't mind holding, I'll come back and get your info so we can send you that book. Thanks for listening, and congratulations on winning.
Thank you very much. All right. Great prize.
All right. Okay, we do have a winner, so that is it for that. Anyways, I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening, and have a good week. This concludes today's edition of Talk Animals on 80.5 FM WMNF Tampa. Hope you'll join us again April 11th. Go to talkinganimals.net. Stay tuned for NPR News and Democracy Now! Be kind to animals, be kind to others, be kind to yourself. Closing things out with a little nod to Langerado and My Morning Jacket, who were fantastic this weekend, by far the best I've seen them, with a snippet of a lesser-known piece they played Saturday night. It's called Cobra, yet another animal tune, right here on WMNF Tampa. Thanks. Catch you next time.